Open your Bible to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. We're on a particular study here that I've called How to Be Witnesses. How to be a witness for the Lord. And what we're learning here is just the important emphasis the Lord places on us actually being His witnesses, His representatives, His testimony here on the earth. Amen. And we've come to find out this is really going to be the basis of the judgment seat of Christ when we stand before the Lord one day. What kind of a witness were we? How much were we really representing Him in our everyday life? How many people are we bringing into the kingdom of God with us? Amen? And what we're going to learn in this, and what we have been learning, is just how important this is, and we need to make this a little bit higher on our priority list than most Christians have made it. Most Christians have tended to place more of the emphasis on, well, what does God want to do for me in this life? What does He think of me, and what can I receive from Him? And those things are good. I think those things are foundational, important. But that doesn't mean we throw by the wayside what we're supposed to be doing for Him. Amen? So once I come to learn all these things about who I am in Christ, I've now got the responsibility. I owe it to the Lord to represent Him and bring people into the kingdom of God with me. Amen? And that's why Jesus said to His disciples in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, He says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." How many of you have had the Holy Spirit come upon you in your life? This is describing the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being Spirit-filled. So you've received some power for something. Power for what? "And you shall be witnesses to me, first in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So God has given us the power to be lights to this lost and dying generation out there, amen? He's given us the ability to witness to people and be the kind of testimony of Jesus everywhere we go. And so we've started off talking about a lot of the spiritual things of how the Holy Spirit plays a role, how these are our shoes, our sandals of the gospel of peace, and what the spiritual part of it looks like. But we've also gone into some very practical things to really teach us how we actually do this in our everyday life. And today, in these last few minutes that we have today, I want to share with you some witnessing tips. These are just a few things, a handful of things of that God has, I believe, shown me that show us how we can be the most effective witnesses for Him. And this is specifically talking about when you actually go to witness to somebody. What are some things you and I can do to be as effective as the Lord's called us to be? And the reason why I bring these things out is because there is a lot out there of people going through formulas and rituals, and they have certain tracts that they hand out. We have what's called the Romans Road to Salvation. And all of these tools, I believe, are important. But I believe one thing that we miss sometimes is the important role the Holy Spirit plays in all of it. Okay? So I'm going to be kind of sharing more from things that we should be doing when we intend to be a witness to somebody. So, point number one, tip number one is this: always have your antenna up. Always have your antenna up. And what do I mean by that? You know, we talked about last week that we're supposed to be ready to share the gospel, right? In season and out of season. And do you remember the point that I made about what it means by being in season and out of season? Well, in season might be where there is a specific initiative going on to where we are actually going out and witnessing, maybe going door to door. We might be in a public place. That's the in-season times. But most of us live more in the out-of-season times, which is what? Maybe you go into the grocery store. Maybe you go into a restaurant. Maybe it's something to where you're going to a specific place or to a specific group of people, and you're not necessarily looking to be a witness. Now, we should always be ready to be a witness, but that's not your reason for going in this place. So my point is, you always have to have your antenna up everywhere you go. And what do I mean by that? I mean that you are constantly living on alert that everywhere I go, every person I come in contact with, Lord, do you want me to tell them about you today? Amen? And the reason why this is really important is because some people go to the extreme of, I'm just going to tell everybody about Jesus, and they're not listening to the Holy Spirit at all in when and how to do it, but that's actually the minority. What is the majority doing? They're not telling anybody about Jesus. They're just going about their everyday life, just doing their own thing, and they're oblivious to the fact of the Holy Spirit interrupting their day to be able to tell them that they need to go share Jesus with somebody. What my point is to you today, you got to always have that antenna up. I'm communing with the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. I'm listening to Him for His direction, for the Lord to identify a person to me. Now, you might not hear the Holy Spirit's voice saying, go tell them this, or so forth. It might just be that your heart goes out with compassion towards somebody. How many of you have ever had that happen? Say you were in the marketplace and you saw a person and there was just something different. They caught your eye and you had this unction, if you would, that, man, I just need to go reach out to this person. How many of y'all have ever had that happen before? That's a lot of times how the Holy Spirit works. You know, if you go back and study the life and ministry of Jesus, there were many times Jesus was doing certain things and the Bible would say he was moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. Meaning, he would see a group of people and his heart would go out to them. He would have sympathy, empathy, compassion towards this group of people. And guess what? Every time Jesus acted on that compassion, miracles happened. People's lives were completely transformed, right? I believe the Lord's leading us in the same way. If you and I will allow the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and dictate who we share with, how we share with them, and at what time we share with them, I can guarantee you we're going to be ultra effective because the Lord knows where everybody's at. Amen? How many of you know that when the Lord went to that well that day, and there was that woman there that was coming to gather water, the Lord didn't go there to get water. He went there because he was being moved with compassion. He was being moved by the Holy Spirit on the inside of him. And he was in the right place at the right time to share the gospel with her, which ended up affecting a whole community because she went back and told people. If you and I will listen to the specific timing of the Holy Spirit, have that spiritual antenna up, and everywhere we go, we're acting on it, I can guarantee you we can turn this community right side up, not upside down. Amen? So the first thing is, have your antenna up. Now, number two, and I think this is very important. Once the Lord identifies a person to you, okay, how do you approach them? What do you say to them? Now, the reason why this is important is because some of us are go-getters. Some of us get ahead of the Holy Spirit a little bit. In fact, I'm only talking to the online crowd right now. I'm not talking to anybody in person here. Of course, none of us ever do that, right? But we get there, and then we go right up to the person, and we get right to the point. Do you know Jesus? Just out of the blue. Now, sometimes that's appropriate. Sometimes we need to get right down to brass tacks. I don't think that's the main way the Lord's going to lead us all the time. I think there's something that's very important to do is, depending on the situation and the time, start with some small talk. Start with some things about them, right? How many of you know that there's nothing more annoying than a vacuum salesman showing up at your door and getting right to the point of trying to sell you the vacuum? You know it's for their benefit. I mean, it's not the best sales technique. Sometimes the best sales technique is what? To show some interest in the other person that you want to sell something to, right? To actually have some people skills, to have some personality things going on. So it's like that with sharing the gospel. So when the Lord has your heart go out with compassion towards somebody, here are some things that you can say to approach them. You can go up to them and say, are you doing okay today? Is there anything I can pray with you about? You know, and you're showing interest and compassion towards the people. Now, one of the ways in which we do this, and I know some of you do practice this very thing, you go out to eat at a restaurant, And your waiter or waitress comes, and what do a lot of us oftentimes do? We're about to pray over our food. Is there something we can pray with you about? Now, I've seen that done a lot, and guess what? The vast majority of the people that you ask that to will give you something to pray about. Why? Because you're showing interest in them. In case you haven't realized this or not, most people like to talk about themselves. Again, not talking about anybody in here. I'm talking about somebody else out there. But most people love, they want to be loved. They want to be accepted. They want to be shown interest in. They want to be included and stuff like that. So a lot of the ways that we can break down the barriers that are in people to bring the gospel into their life is to actually show genuine love and concern for them. Amen? So one of the best ways that we can be a witness for the Lord is to create a relationship, cultivate it. Now, it could be a situation to where you know you're going to see them multiple times. Then you can really slow your roll. Now, I know I lost some of you old people right there. Slow your roll. What do I mean by that? Don't be so quick to just get in there and just get to the point like I was saying earlier. Slow down, build the relationship, and the person will open up a lot better to be able to receive the truth that they need to receive. Amen? So one of the ways in which you can do this is, Lord, I pray you give me a heart to really love and show care and concern for people. Amen? Amen. I remember Pastor Roberts, this is part of his testimony. He shares this a lot, and I'm going to share it for him because I think all of us need to do this very thing. He was like, man, God, you calling me to do these different things for people and stuff like that, but I don't really like people very much. Well, how many of you know if you're called to the ministry and you don't like people very much, that's a problem. You actually got to love people, care about them, and want what's best for them. And when you are moved with the love for the other person, I'm going to tell you, it's amazing how much they will better receive what you need to tell them, and also how much more confidence you have to share it with them. Amen. Because why? How many of you know we have got the best product on the planet? You and I mean, this ain't just any old normal Hoover vacuum that you and I have. We have got the answers. We know the truth. You and I have been blessed to be able to give this gospel to the world. We know something the vast majority of people out there don't know. So guess what? You and I should never be timid, shy, or fearful to share what we know with people out there. Amen. This is why the Apostle Paul said that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. We should not be ashamed about what we know. We should not let the devil come in and try to tell us, well, you got to be careful. Don't go out there and these people are going to reject you. Look, some people are going to reject it. I'm going to promise you, the world is filled with two different kinds of insects. You know what it is? Moth and roaches. Moths and roaches. What do I mean by that? When the light shows up, and how many of you know, we're the light of the world, we got the light, you get basically two reactions from people. One is, they're going to be like the roaches, and they're going to flee back into the cupboard. They don't want to hear it, they're going to hate it. But then you got the moths that are going to flock to the light. They're going to be drawn to this gospel that you and I are bringing to them. And you just got to let the fallout be what it is. But if you'll follow these specific steps, I believe we can be as effective as possible. So, point number one, have your antenna up. Number two, start with some small talk. Build relationship before you get into the other thing. Now, the next points that I want to bring up to you are really important too. And this is one that I've found is what I call witnessing made fun. And how many of you know the Holy Spirit is witnessing made fun? Once you have this captive audience, once you have this person before you, and you're creating this small talk with them and you're having this conversation with them, at the same time as you are actively listening to them, you're listening within your heart to the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, to the things He might be saying to you and the things He might be showing you. Now, I'll explain what I mean by the showing aspect of it. But the Lord knows the person better than you do. And if we're just going guns blazing, telling them what we need to hear without necessarily letting the Holy Spirit guide the conversation, we can really miss a lot of different opportunities. Amen. I was witnessing to a guy not too long ago, and it was weird. It was a really strange situation because the guy, I'm trying to help the guy, actually. He was an unbeliever, but it was more trying to help him with some other issues in his life. And while I'm sitting there talking to him and stuff, he starts telling me about some instance of some man of God or some prophet that showed up at this particular auto dealership that he worked at. And, you know, and he was just, I don't know why this even got brought up in the conversation, but when he was doing it, I saw a picture on the inside of me when he's telling me this. And guess what auto dealership I saw? Sutton Chevrolet right down in Byron. I saw the parking lot, okay? Now, we have a person that goes to our church here that actually works there. And I started thinking about this person. This is Steve. And, you know, it was kind of like weird to me because I'm like, man, God, there is a lot of auto dealerships in this area. What's the odds of that being the one that the guy's telling me about? You know, and so I start rationalizing it in my mind like we all do. And I start thinking about it. And then finally in the conversation, I just brought up and said, do you know Steve? And I mentioned his last name. And he was like, yeah, this was at this particular dealership. Now, what was powerful about that and what was so made that so effective was this. As paying attention to what the Holy Spirit was showing me, how many of you know this guy that didn't know God? How many of you know that by me bringing up the specific dealership and the person in the dealership that he was working alongside of, how many of you know this might open him up a little bit to everything else I'm trying to tell him to help him if the Lord's showing me this? You follow what I'm saying? How do you think this might work with us being witnesses for the Lord? If I'm sitting there and I'm talking with the person and then the Lord shows me something like, ask them this, or they're having this particular issue in their life, or whatever, man, I'll tell you what, you start operating in the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom and prophecy in witnessing to somebody, this is one of the things that lets them know that what you're about to tell them and the truth you're going to deliver to them is valid. Pay attention to this person. Amen? So you got to pay attention to the things the Holy Spirit's telling you and showing you, which is this. Pay attention to the pictures on the inside of you. Amen. Now, y'all know there's a couple of ministers that have come through here before. I love this testimony, and I like to share this one. Sherry Kaylor is her name. And she said she was overseas somewhere, and she had a ministry line. People came up for prayer. And this one lady, she had no reason to say this or think this, but she starts praying for her. And in praying for her, she kept saying, Lord, pickle her, pickle her, pickle her, like a pickle that we eat. And she was like, what an idiot. What kind of a thing do you say over somebody to pickle them? I mean, what does that mean? Well, the lady starts going crazy when she starts saying that. And to make a long story short, the lady, for her living, pickled certain items. And she understood that what it meant to pickle something meant to do a certain thing with it, which was exactly what the lady needed to happen in her life. So the Lord showed this minister, or spoke through this minister the specific thing, knowing that this is exactly where this woman was at. How many of you know Jesus did this very same thing? When he taught parables, what was his primary example that he used in his parables? What did he use to illustrate spiritual things? Agriculture. He used sowing and reaping and different things like that. Why? Because the people he was ministering to were agricultural society. They understood these things. So the Lord was sharing with them spiritual truth in a very natural way that they could relate to. This is some of the ways the Holy Spirit will use you to minister to somebody. If you'll pay attention to what he's saying in your heart and the pictures he's showing you as you're ministering to him. Amen? So listen to the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Pay attention to what he's showing you. Amen. Now, The rest of these things are very practical as well. The next thing is, when you then get the opportunity to share the gospel with them or the truth, we need to follow that basic acronym that the world likes to use, which is what? KISS. What does it mean? Keep it simple, saint. Did somebody say stupid? What an ugly thing to say. No, it's keep it simple, saint. And what I mean by that is, when we're sharing the gospel with them, you don't have to give somebody a deep theological explanation of all these different things. You can just keep it simple and share certain basic things that everybody in here does know, whether you realize it or not. Which is what? Jesus is Lord. There is a heaven. God loves you. God's got a good plan for you. And to whatever level that you are comfortable with doing so, and based on the situation, man, just get to the person where they're at. Because again, what is everybody looking for? They're looking to be accepted. They're looking to be loved. They're looking to be approved of and things like that. And people are looking for that in the Lord. And that's why the Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. Amen. And the goodness of God, this doesn't just mean God's good out there somewhere and that's going to lead people to repentance. No, it's when people receive the goodness of God through you. And number two, when people hear about the goodness of God through you. That's the gospel. Amen. The gospel is God is good. He loves you. He's not imputing your trespasses to you. He, you are accepted in the beloved. All you got to do, there's no sin too great. There's nothing you have done that is past beyond you being able to be reconciled to God. All you got to do is receive the way of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's simple. Now, this is why it goes into knowing the situation, how much time you have, so how much can you tell a person, how quick you need to get to the point and things like that. But how many of you know, we're all called to share this with people. And we should all know the gospel, the basic essence of the gospel to be able to share with people. And just give your testimony. Now next week, I'm going to get into how to share your testimony. But this week, just leave it as a basic thing. Share your testimony with somebody. Share what you've seen. Share what you've experienced. Share what you know. Don't worry about what you don't know. Share what you do know. I know God showed up on my doorstep 20 years ago and saved me and changed my life. And I know that when I came to that church on that particular evening and that evangelist stood up and she's inviting people to come up, I know it was like I had some metal for dinner and that altar was a magnet. And I'm getting pulled to go up there. I'm getting drawn to go up there. And the moment I went up there, it was like a tornado took place in my life, and my life was turned around. It was changed, and I was a new person. The sky was bluer. The grass was greener. Things changed in my life, and there was nothing in the natural that could have ever made this happen. You know something? I've shared that many a times to many a different atheist that can seemingly try to win an argument with me all day. And guess what they can't do? They cannot argue with a testimony. They can't argue with a life change. They're either going to have to call me a liar, or there is something that happened. And I'm going to tell you, when you really believe in what God's done in you like that, you're going to be the best vacuum salesman on the planet. Amen. You will be the best at presenting the gospel when you really believe in and have experienced the product that God has given us in our life, this way of salvation, amen? And people can't deny it, especially when you're emphatic about it. This is why preachers are good salesmen, amen? I mean, I tell people all the time when people talk about how awesome my wife is, Shannon, boy, she's an A-plus man. You did good to get her, all this kind of stuff. And everybody kind of tells me that, like basically I married up and everything. You know what my, yeah, amen. And you know what my response is? Yeah, I'm just a good salesman. Well, preachers are good salesmen too, baby. And you can share the gospel with people. You can tell it because you believe so much in it. Baby, I got to let you know something that's available for you. And when you share it like that, from the standpoint of this is my testimony, this is the good news, it's difficult for somebody, albeit for that veil that they have over their face, to reject what you obviously believe so strongly in. Amen. So that's the fourth point. And the fifth one, which is very important, is then once the person has heard you share this simple gospel, once the person has hopefully heard you peg them on a few things that the Holy Spirit has shown you, and this person is maybe a little open and receptive, now what do you do with them? Most people do this. I shared the gospel with them, cut their scalp off and take their scalp back to church. Praise God, this has happened, and leave the person out there. No, we're not scalp collectors here. Amen. What are we doing? We are bringing them with us, which is where discipleship comes in. Now, I get it. If you're witnessing to certain people, I mean, you know, in the world we live in today, you got to use some discretion and wisdom of, you know, giving your phone number out and putting people in your car. I get all that and understand that. So you got to be Spirit-led on everything. But at the same time, you got to be willing to be a direction for somebody. And one of the ways you do it is you bring them to church with you. Amen. Invite them to come to your church. How many of you believe in your church here? How many? Only half of you? Why are you even coming here? You should believe in this place. Praise God. Amen. And if you really believe it, bring them here to be discipled. And you disciple them yourself in different things. And it doesn't have to be a church. It could be something awesome like Joey and Sissy's Bible study on Friday night or other various meetings that are going on. You know, sometimes somebody doesn't necessarily want to come to church, but they might come to a Bible study, right? Reading the room, figuring out exactly where the person's at, and being a reference point for them to help bring them into a place of understanding and knowing the Lord. I believe these few points are good witnessing tips that if we'll just do these things. Number one, have your antenna up. Who's the Holy Spirit identifying? Right? Number two, what was the next one? Connie, tell me what the next one is. I'm forgetting what the next one was. Start with the small talk. There you go. Get right, you know, don't get right into necessarily the point. Love the person. Show some interest in what's going on with them. Number three, listen into the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of you and the things He's showing you and various things. And be bold in sharing them out, as weird and crazy as it might seem. I mean, I've witnessed unto certain people, the Lord's showing me a frog. I have no idea what this means. I'm not calling you a frog, but I'm seeing this kind of, you know. And you share it. And a lot of times, it's the Holy Spirit spot on. And then, after you've done that, just keep it simple with sharing the gospel with them. Amen. Just get to the point of your testimony, share the good news in the way that you know it, while you're learning to grow more. And then, follow up with the person. Find a good, safe, Spirit-led way to bring them alongside and actually disciple them and bring them into the kingdom of God. Amen. Are those things simple enough? Are those things good tips? Next week, we'll talk about how to share your testimony, which to me is a really important one. Because one of the things we're going to be doing on Sunday nights, you know what it is? You share your testimony. I figured I'd get about that response right there. People do. Yay! Isn't that exciting? I love it. I mean, you know, and there are basic ways to do it. And we'll get into some practical things next week that I think will really help you be able to know how to be prepared in sharing your testimony with somebody else. Because we've all got a testimony, amen? You might not have been wrapped up in drugs and alcohol and doing all kinds of crazy squirrely stuff like me, but you got a testimony, amen? And it can impact somebody's life. So let's stand on our feet. Cameron, come on up, please. Thank you, Jesus. God is good to us. How many of you are determined in your life to be more of a witness than you've ever been? Have that antenna up. Look for people to share with and be what God's called you to be. Can I give you a good tip? Do you want to have more joy in your life? Do you want to have more peace? We all want that. there is no greater joy and peace than that of a soul winner. You leading people to Christ, you're fulfilling your basic function and mandate here in the earth. There is such a peace, such a grace that comes on you. There's nothing more satisfying than leading somebody to the Lord and discipling them, taking them under your wings. I think we're all called to do that, and that's where that grace is for us in our life. So we need to endeavor to be these things in our life. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today for the things you've shared with us, for these practical, wise tips that will help us to be more effective in being the light you've called us to be. Lord, we are so thankful that there were people in our lives that came and shared the gospel with us. There were people that led us to the Lord. Whether it was in a church setting or on the street, all of us had somebody be a witness to us. Lord, make us a witness to others so that the same way you've impacted our lives, we would share it with others. We're thankful today for what you're doing in our lives, in our church, in our community, and all around the world. Thank you for blessing us today. In Jesus' name.